organized and ready to go. So with that, we will call the fourth quarterly meeting to order and would call on our secretary, Regent Thomas, to please call the roll.
Regent Bell.
Present.
Regent Hall.
Present.
Regent Brinkley.
Present.
Regent Grovey.
Present.
Regent Dennison.
Present.
Chair Milliken.
Present.
Regent Nichols.
Present.
Regent Spiller.
Present.
Secretary Thomas. Present. Vice Chair West.
Present.
And Regent Kirks.
We're happy to have a full complement today. It's nice to have everybody together. Regent Hall, glad to have you here as well by Zoom, and glad to have the rest of you here in person. Ms. Nichols, I think this is the first time you've been able to be here in person, and we welcome you to our meeting.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We're happy to have you here. You have each been provided with copies of the minutes, and I'm sure have had an opportunity to review those. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Have a motion, a second.
Second.
A second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no, and motion carries. The first item of business on our agenda for today pertains to academic affairs. Regent Bale.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. We have a rather brief agenda and followed by an interesting information item. Provost Fisher is here, and we have three action items. We'll take them separately, And action item one concerns suspension of the minor in forestry program.
Yeah, the first one has to do with a suspension of the forestry minor. It turns out that there's a low number of enrollees in that, and the people who are in that program asked to move it or do suspend it.
Any questions, Provost? If not, we'll entertain a motion to approve action item one.
So moved.
Motion.
Second.
And a second from Regent Dennison. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Second item concerns suspension of the Master of Science in Child and Family Studies.
Yep. Again, asked by the faculty because of a reduced in enrollment, and what they are doing in that in its case is to put the resources towards one of the other programs in the COP.
Questions, comments from anyone? If not, all those in favor of action item two, suspension.
Say aye.
Need a motion?
So moved.
Motion.
Second.
And a second from Regent Thomas. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Our last item is concerning some emerita appointments.
The first is Dr. Fred DeGraves, who came here in 2011 as an assistant professor in agriculture and ultimately served as the chair of agriculture for a period of time. He's mostly known for the fact that he's the vet and was the vet at the farm, as well as the vet advisor, who was incredibly productive at getting students into vet school, especially at Auburn with the deal that we have with Kentucky, between Kentucky and Alabama. What you also see is he has a relationship with the Holstein Association and Kentucky's Ag Development Board that was instrumental in the start of the Smart Holstein line. And with that, I would ask that he please be given a merit status.
Okay, any comments?
right. If not, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the Maritime Stash for Dr. Fred DeGraves.
So moved.
Motion?
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Thank you.
The second is Dr. Darwin Dahl, who came to WKU in 1987 and served for 36 years, which is an amazing thing. He is an active research program, and in that program, he had 10 graduate school students who completed master's thesis, and he had 20 peer-reviewed publications, and he was the principal or co-principal investigator on a number of research grants. He was instrumental. He got a lot of grants from the National Science Foundation for instrumentation for the Department of Chemistry that now has allowed the Department of Chemistry to have top-notch equipment. And with that, I ask that he be given emeritus appointment.
Discussions, comments? Not, will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion from Richard Thomas.
Second.
From Shane. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. All right.
And last, we have an information item with Dr. David Zimmer here, who's the interim chair of economics. Dr. Zimmer focuses his research on statistical Coppola functions and model microeconomic phenomena. Okay? Sure. I'm going to get an education today. He has authored more than 60 articles in academic journals. His research is cited widely in PhD-level econometrics textbooks, and he has served as a consultant for the British National Institute for Health and Care Excellence. And with that, I would love to bring him up to talk about his research.
How are you?
Thank you very much, Dr. Fisher, and thank you to the entire board. This is pretty exciting for me. I was never a student at Western Kentucky, but I grew up not far from here in Evansville. And I always regarded Western Kentucky as this large, intimidating place to the south. I had a few relatives who went here, so from an early age, I always held this place in pretty high regard. And then when a job opening came up, I regarded it as a really good fit for me. I'm now in my 17th year, and I can say this has been a wonderful place to pursue an academic career. And now the opportunity to speak to the governing board, even for a few moments, is pretty cool for me. My research deals with a statistical tool known as a copula. And to try to give an example of what that means, picture a mortgage in Kentucky. So a mortgage is, of course, just an interest-bearing asset, like a bond. And like a bond, it will then trade on secondary markets once it's created. That's true of most mortgages in this country. Once they're originated, they slosh around in financial markets, which sounds kind of dangerous, but on net, that's a good thing for all of us. But from the point of view of an investor, a mortgage is a risky asset because at any time, the homeowner can stop making those payments. And one thing that might cause that to happen is if the value of the home goes down. That will create an incentive for the homeowner to just walk away from the mortgage. So as investors, if we are looking to protect ourselves from this kind of riskiness, one option is to take advantage of the age-old idea of diversification. Let's blend the mortgages into a unified asset. The mortgage in Kentucky might go belly up, but perhaps they won't in multiple places at the same time. The key question then, how linked up are the housing prices? If they're really tightly correlated, then we're not going to get much protection from diversification. Prior to the housing crisis, the assumption was that price movements look like this. So in this picture, we see a positive correlation, which makes sense. Kentucky and Arizona are far apart, but they're subject to the same macroeconomic forces. So we expect the prices to move in the same direction, more or less. But focus on the southwestern portion of that picture. I'll take a magnifying glass to the southwestern portion of that picture. If we zoom in on the southwest, so this is bad times, right, when prices are plummeting. maybe we can detect a positive correlation there, but it's not real overwhelming. That just looks like a cloud of points. So in words, during bad times, even if housing prices are fairly correlated, we can blend together mortgages and create safe assets. In fact, if we're really clever about how we blend these things together, we can create very, very safe assets, AAA safe, or so we thought. It turns out that housing prices really don't move like this. Instead, they tend to move like this. So here we again see a positive correlation, but the difference is that in the southwestern portion of the picture, that correlation has tightened. What this says is during bad times, when prices are plummeting, those correlations really tend to get very tight, and in words, that means that diversified protection that we thought was there tends to vanish at the very moment we need it most. So putting these pictures side by side, prior to the housing crisis, Wall Street was grading these structured securities according to the picture on the left. And there's a good reason for that. The methods used to study stuff on the left, those have been around for generations. They're fairly easy to implement. The story on the right, though, that's far more difficult. That requires a great deal of computational muscle and a great deal of rather complicated statistics. The tool used to study what's happening on the right is known as a copula, and that's what I've dedicated my career to studying. I've been doing this for about 20 years now, or give or take, and it's hard to stress how boring and dry it is. 20 years ago, no one wanted to hear from me. I found it interesting, but it was hard to get much of an audience. And then overnight, this stuff obviously became very important. That's a copula typeset onto the cover of a mainstream magazine. Never thought I would see that. And then even more shocking to me, this material actually gained some mainstream treatment in a Hollywood blockbuster. I'm embarrassed to say I only recently saw this movie. What do Brad Pitt and I have in common? No, maybe not as much as I would like, but we've both dealt with housing crises. So in sum, I've dedicated a large chunk of my research career to studying economic phenomena that are related but kind of in intricate, nuanced ways, such as what we see on the right. And I have found Western Kentucky to be a very wonderful place to pursue those interests. So thank you for listening for a few moments.
Questions for Dr. Zimmer? In our August retreat, we reviewed a book called Knowledge Towns, and it talked about Boulder, Colorado as an example of housing markets gone awry, and I think we're seeing here in Bowling Green a lot of talk about affordable housing. Is what you do, are you able to give people advice or...
Housing markets tend to be pretty unpredictable, and that's what makes them difficult to study. The supply considerations are volatile, and they can interact with government policy in unpredictable ways. The demand considerations are also kind of complicated. If I could do this stuff well and give people advice and anticipate, I'd be on a desert island right now. Damn it. The answer is no. I can give advice after the fact. That might be a little disruptive now. But I'm a poor forecaster.
Comments? Other questions?
Thank you so much, Dr. Zimmer. I appreciate your research. I think that's very interesting.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I have a question. I appreciate you. Thank you for being here.
I do have a question. As a real estate example, it makes sense for thinking you could mitigate risk when the reality is to the downside you can't. What other markets is this useful for?
I've used these kind of markets to study healthcare spending. Because healthcare spending is another situation where, things kind of look normal until a bad medical claim hits. And then you have facility expenses, doctor expenses, and those can be tightly correlated and very large. and maybe not the nice kind of elliptical shape that would be present during normal times. So there are lots of economic relationships that kind of exhibit that kind of tightening up in the tails.
Thank you. Okay, very good.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
That's all the business of the academic committee.
Very good. Number two on our agenda for today is finance and budget. Regent Brody.
Thank you, Chair Milliken. Without objection, I'm going to take action item one as a standalone item and then take items two through five as a consent matter. So action item one is the acceptance of the auditor's report and financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2023. Susan, you have any further comment on other than what we had in the committee meeting?
No, just a reminder, it was a clean audit, no audit findings. So another good audit, another good work by the entire university. The audit team is not present today. But if you do have any specific questions on the audit itself, we do have our university controller here.
Any questions? If not, I would entertain a motion to accept the auditor's report and financial statements for the year ended June
30th, 2023. So moved.
Motion by Regent Brinkley.
Second.
Second by Regent West. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And as I said, now if we could take action items two through five in finance and budget as a consent matter without objection. I'll just ask if there are any questions. If not, I would entertain a motion to approve items two through five in the finance and budget as a consent.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That concludes. Finance and budget.
Very good.
Moving right along.
Yes. item number three. Student Affairs, Regent Dennison.
Looks like we have one information item, and I'll call on Dr. Ethan Logan to present that.
Thank you. Thank you to the board. Thank you, Regent Dennison. Buddy, we're assembling as we speak. It was a fast budget finance. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. We have introduced the LLCs to the board before, and I thought it was a good time for us to have kind of a update. And so today, with the help of HRS staff who helped facilitate our LLC living learning communities in our halls, we have some actual testimonials from both faculty fellows who work with these groups of students in their living learning communities, as well as some students. And so I hope that you can enjoy some conversation about what's going on in our LLCs with some examples and some thoughts from our participants and our faculty fellows who share with those processes. So I'm going to introduce to you Blair Jensen, our Associate Director from Housing and Residence Life, and Cassidy Counter, who's our Program Director for our Living Learning Communities and assisting those facilitating those programs in Housing and Residence Life, and ask them to introduce our special guests today. So Blair, let me turn it over to you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, President Cavoni, colleagues, and guests, good afternoon. My name is Blair Jensen. I'm an associate director in the Department of Housing and Residence Life here at WKU. I'm joined by my colleague, Cassidy.
Hello.
She serves as our LLC program director. And we have a couple of special guests with us as well. Cassidy and I have the great honor and privilege of administering WKU's Living Learning Communities program, and we're excited to be here on behalf of Housing and Residence Life. Now, just a few short months ago, my colleagues from the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning and I attended your board retreat back in August and shared with you some kind of student success metrics for students participating in Living Learning Communities, as well as our vision for the future of LLCs at WKU. So it seems so fitting to me that we started our semester together and we're ending it together as well. What perfectly poetic bookends. So back in August, we presented facts and figures really regarding LLC participant persistence and retention rates. Now, we know that facts and figures are really important. Student success metrics help us determine broadly the impact of a particular program. They allow us to quantify our programs, to relay our program's impact using a language that we can all understand. However, facts and figures don't provide the whole story of a program's success. There's a reason that quantitative and qualitative research exist. They each are half of a whole story. So we're taking a different approach today. We're here to tell the story of the LLC program success from a qualitative perspective, because it's not always about the destination, it's about the journey. So as I mentioned, I'm joined by several special guests. We have three current LLC fellows in attendance today: Ms. Monica Duval, who works with our Business Living Learning community, Dr. Jeremy Logsdon and Ms. Jessie Hassung, who work with our Education LLCs as fellows. And we're also joined by three LLC students today: Luke Phelps, who is a SEAS LLC participant, Carrington Coppinger, who's a Journalism, Broadcasting, and Photojournalism LLC participant, and Trey Muller, our past Business LLC participant and current Business LLC resident assistant. So he's a second-year student that is continuing his engagement with the Living Learning community as a resident assistant. And each of them has a story to tell. So we're going to start first with our LLC fellows. Right, look at that, there they are, they're on the screen. All right, fantastic, okay. So we're gonna start with Ms. Monica Duval. In what ways has the LLC influenced student engagement in the classroom setting?
So when I started thinking about how the LLC has really influenced engagement in the classroom setting, all I could really think about was relationships. And most of you all know that relationships in the business world really determine success within the business world. And that is the same thing within the LLC. So the LLC students form relationships with each other. They also form relationships with the fellows. And those relationships then go into the classroom. They increase engagement. They're comfortable. I think Trey can attest to this, especially within the business LLC. The students are really engaged in the classroom. Maybe not in the beginning. In the beginning of the semester, they're nervous. They're uncomfortable with each other. They're uncomfortable with me and our other LLC fellow. But as the semester goes on, their engagement increases because their relationships increase with each other. I kind of started thinking about the beginning of this semester. They were all nervous. I'd ask questions. No one would raise their hand. They'd all look at me like, or put their heads down and hope that I didn't call on them. Towards the end of the semester, they're all raising their hands. They're all wanting to be engaged. And really that has to do with Regents, the dorm that we're in, the way that they engage with each other in the pods. They study together. We started math tutoring together. Just things to really get them engaged with each other. And that has also led to increased student engagement in the classroom.
Next, I'm going to ask Dr. Jeremy Logsdon to step forward. Share a time you engaged an individual student in your LLC. What was the outcome of your interaction?
All right, so I emailed the student to have permission to tell this story. Her name is Maria Carey. I had her in class last fall in EDU250, our Introduction to Education class. And as I was going through my roster and I saw the name Maria Carey, I made probably the same mistake that many of you would say. I said the name Mariah Carey. So we immediately kind of bonded on that. You know, she had a good laugh about it. She was a wonderful student, earned an A, took part in all of our activities. This past spring, she emailed me, Dr. Super, Daniel Super, who was one of her other professors, and Mrs. Sung, who she knew as a fellow. And she shared with us that her mother had just been diagnosed with cancer, and that this was going to be her last semester at WKU. And she said she wanted to thank us for her time in the program, but that she was going to have to go back home to Louisville. And she ended the email saying, if you can, it was a financial decision. It was not a case of, I need to go home because my mother is actively dying. It was a case of, we can no longer afford to come here. She said, if there's anything you can think of that could help, please let me know. So we immediately said, have you applied for scholarships? Like, did you fill out top dollar? So we helped her through that process. And we were able to get her scholarships through that program that let her come back here. So her mother is still with us. She's undergoing treatment quite well. But just because she reached out to us, even though we had mentioned top dollar and other ways to get funds previously, just by virtue of her reaching out and having that relationship with us, we were able to guide her to a process that she's still here dedicated with us and hopefully will be for the next 2 years until she graduates. And I don't think that would have happened without being in the LLC.
Because it requires a special relationship and a lot of trust to disclose that kind of information and struggle as a student to a faculty member. And so having interacted with you as part of the LLC paved the way for that interaction to take place and for you to retain that student ultimately. Okay. And then last but not least, we'll invite Jesse forward. What impact has participation in the LLC program had on you? What has been your greatest takeaway?
I was so thankful that I got to answer this question. For me, the course that I teach is when they are seniors before they're student teaching. I teach math methods, how to teach math to kids. It's the best course in the world, just FYI. But with our LLC students, they are freshmen incoming, and so I don't often get to work with the beginning bookends. And so for me, the past 2 years, getting to build those relationships with those students, connecting with them, helping them on their journey, advising them, has been huge to me. So my biggest takeaway is just simply getting to know them, building those strong foundational relationships so that when I see them in a couple of years, if they are dual cert or elementary education majors, and a lot of them are, that we can continue that relationship, that working relationship with one another. So it's been such a huge impact on my life. LLC has provided so many opportunities for me to get to know the students at a deeper level. And I think one of our takeaways this semester, Dr. Logsdon is a big horror movie film buff. I am not. So I'm an elementary education major, so you get that, right? And I think one of our testimonies to those relationships is we had our annual horror movie film at the Capitol Center this semester. And how many students do we have?
Oh, we had over 80 students, which is a big leap from our first year of having 15. The next year, 60. It's been growing. But almost every one of our LLC students came, including some who had to leave because Scream 6 was a little too intense for them. But they still showed up just because of the relationship they had built.
Yeah, so thank you so much for that opportunity. So now we're going to invite our students to share their experiences as well. We've got our students up there, and we're going to start with Luke. What impact has participation in your LLC had on you academically?
So participation in my LLC has positively impacted me. Since we're required to take some of the same classes in our LLC, I can easily go down the hall and ask either my friends or even my roommate, you know, if I have a question on part of a homework assignment, it's very easy for me to do that. Since we're all taking the same classes and usually in the same type of majors, it organically creates a good study group.
And you're participating in the SEES LLC, our School of Engineering and Applied Sciences.
Yes.
Carrington, how has participating in your LLC helped you connect with other students?
So I've actually had a really cool opportunity of being from Bowling Green originally. Not only that, but I am a child of a professor here. So growing up on campus and coming to football games on the weekends as a child, it's been very different being able to grow my own opportunity and have a different social aspect other than the ones that I've been had in my past. So being able to connect with other students, not only from Bowling Green, that was my worst fear coming to Western, was being stuck in the same friend groups. But through the LLC, I've been able to make an absolute brand new family of amazing people who are like-minded with me, and it has been a great opportunity.
And then we'll wrap up here with Trey. What has been your most memorable LLC experience to date? And Trey is our returning student, so he's a second-year student at WKU, pursuing a major in accounting. And he is currently serving as a resident assistant for the business LLC, so he has had an engagement with this program going on 3 semesters.
So I've been able to create relationships with my residents, and that's been most memorable as being an RA, but I think most memorable to me was as a student, I was able to choose the colors of our business LC graduation cords, and we were able to choose the colors green, yellow, and purple to represent the pods and regents. And just being able to be a part of that group and create my history here, just as y'all do every day, making these decisions, I believe that was the most memorable experience for me.
And so how do they earn the cords in the business LLC?
Yes, so it's an app called Suitable, and there's an LLC badge. So you have to have a meeting with one of our fellows, which I had a meeting with Monica. I think it was about an internship. We have to attend two LLC events, which was I attended pod bowling, and I think it was either a pizza party we had in the pods, and the last one was two events per semester, and I think that was it.
And so you track your participation in these activities over
yes.
the course of the academic year, and then as long as you've completed those requirements, you earn the honor cords to wear at graduation. And then you all got to pick the colors.
And we also require them to go to a student organization meeting across campus that does not include Greek, so outside of that, and then an athletic event as well during the year, and they have to report on that.
And just in further reference to the green, purple, and yellow pods, the pods themselves have different color schemes in the residence hall, and so the furniture and the paint colors on the walls are green, purple, and yellow, and so that's why they chose those colors. Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories, and these are just six stories. We have over 700 students and several faculty fellows, staff members and faculty members that help support these programs on our campus. So we actually did something called a thankful survey in advance of November, right, kind of during the month in advance of the Thanksgiving holiday, and asked our students to provide us with their stories, what they were thankful for in terms of their experience and engagement in these LLCs. And so these were some of the stories that they had to share with us. Right, you're looking at stories of accountability, stories of connection, stories of community, stories of success, stories of belonging. And so I just wanted to share with you that it's so much more than the numbers and the facts and the figures and the metrics that we see and that we track over time. It's about the experience that our students gain, because experience is more than just a fact or a figure. Experience is what happens between the four walls of a classroom, between the four walls of a residence hall room or a residence hall lounge. Experience is what happens between a fellow and a student. Experience is the collective shared memories that are forged by students living life together. And that is what these living learning communities provide. And we are so honored to be a part of this project. Thank you so much for your time and attention this afternoon.
Thank you so much for an outstanding presentation. It's just outstanding. Any comments from anyone?
I have been lucky enough to have some parents that have pursued me and talked about how great, particularly the engineering, living and learning community was in education. So I think it's wonderful. You know, I think, you know, especially taking freshmen that don't know what they're doing and putting them in the community with other students and professors.
I'm so glad
you're
obviously had a positive
very
experience.
Excited with what you do, and you believe in it. And
I do.
That shows. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much. And a little plug for the Engineering LLC. They're actually offering a study abroad opportunity come summer, and they're going to get a chance to go to Barcelona, which I think is fantastic. And those are the types of enriched experiences that we're working to build in all of our LLCs, kind of in terms of the program. It's a little plug for them. And we just recently opened our housing application on December 1st. We had over 800 students apply within the first week of the application being open, and nearly half of them submitted an application for a living learning community. So we know that this is a draw to WKU, and they're gaining a really great experience as a result.
So I will add to the comments. I had the good fortune of having folks over for dinner who worked on this project to hear from them, to learn from them about what it is we've accomplished and what comes next. And so what you're hearing is overwhelming success. It's a good thing when a $60 million check is written that it creates what we all hoped it would create, both in terms of retention and persistence, but also on the student experience and deep engagement within academics and on the social side. What comes next is being able to think about how does that first year experience extend into years two and beyond, because as these communities are created, they want to hang together. And we're not 100% of the way there on figuring out those who want to continue to live at least approximately, how do we accommodate that in an intentional way that's systematic and works to create it, not just by happenstance that we'll all decide to be roommates and then we'll all apply at the same time together, but there's a process for it. So we're working toward that because that will help with sophomore to junior retention, which is already high. It is nationally, but a place to do some work. More importantly, you hear that we have excess demand and limited capacity to do LLCs in collaboration with a facility that's built in pods. And so we have begun the conversation along with the Student Life Foundation on how by 2026 or 27 do we replace Hugh Poland and Douglas Keene Halls with the match set of the first year village. And so they're beginning to work toward that. And we'll have news, I hope, on that in the next 6 or 7 months.
I think this program also speaks loudly to what we talk about and have talked about for the last several years. If you're trying to achieve success, you do it through meaningful work and meaningful relationships. And those shared experiences are creating those relationships that matter, mean a lot, and ultimately lead to success. So it's a great program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Anything else?